Have you dined this week? I mean, by now, I don't mean just the natural food. I mean, you know, it's going to take a while to process this. And I don't know about you, I got fed. I got fed. I'm better than when I came, I can tell. Amen. So can you tell what God is doing? And this is just one way of illustrating it. He is, you know, we have the green line. We always put your toes on the line, you know, and everybody's very familiar with come to get prayer and be ministered to. And we're all about that. I mean, in the early days, Dave would give he'd call a line for a hangnail and I'd get in it. He'd call a line for women problems and I'd get in it. I had no confidence at all that I could hear from God. And I was hoping, you know, that maybe Dave would hear. And most of the time, you know, most of the time he would. Also, like how Alan says, because it's so exactly the same thing, we'd be in the line, you know. Maybe you're standing right there and here comes Dave coming down the line. And you know what your week was like. And you're thinking, oh God, I'm in trouble with God. And so you're trying to remember everything to repent of before Dave gets to you. You know, I shouldn't have watched that program. I probably shouldn't have yelled at the cat, you know. And you're expecting to get it chewing out. And then when the Lord speaks through Dave, it's usually, I am with you. I'm proud of you. You're doing good. You and I are going to do great things, you know. Thank God He is God. And He is our Father. And I remember, okay, I'm going to have to let him do this because I can't bypass how he does this. This morning early, I was thinking, now what kind of a final service are we going to have? And I was thinking back to those earlier years, you know, very often. And let's go back quite a few years where usually Dave would minister the last one. And the healing line would go around the building and pick up and then around the building, you know. And I understand that because in the early days, that was our lifeline. I had no confidence that I could hear from God, but I believe Dave could hear from God. And then, but you know, there came a day after we had been here a few years and doing the message, and it wasn't that many, maybe 5, 6, I'd have to go back, 7 maybe. But somewhere in there, see, Dave, he came right up to me and he says, oh, he says, Gary, in the future, I'm not going to be giving you very many words from God because you've come to the place of accountability and He's holding you responsible to hear Him for yourself. Amen. I had that feeling this morning that there was not, other years, 1 year, remember we were going to shorten the prayer lines. So they had Dave, I don't forget now, I think Dave had a line, Bronk had a line, Jim had a line, I had a line, I don't remember who all it was. And we thought, well, that'll shorten it down. No. People went from line to line to line. We were here longer than ever. So instead of having one prayer line, we had like 5 prayer lines. And that's okay. It was okay at the time. But this morning, as I was up and just praying and getting quiet, I had this feeling, this knowing, it's not going to end like that today. And to the point, though, that I called Tim. I bounced it off of him. And I probably have that message, but the end result of it was this. He says, no, I don't think there's going to be a line like that, because what God wants is for the people to take home with them what they heard this week and put it into practice. Amen. You've already heard from the Lord. Amen. Now, there's others, and as I mention this, because I talk with more than one person, I want you to know that I talk with more than one person, and they said this very similar thing. They said something like, oh, I hope we have a prayer line, because I need encouraging, and I need an impartation. And I understand that, and I'm not saying, now if you absolutely need that, it's okay. But I want to read you one of the prophecies that came during this very conference. It didn't come through me. Listen, see, what is a prophecy? Let's do it like this. There's a reason why we don't put the names, like who did it come through? Because people say, oh, that came through Nathan? You know, That glory dude? No. Well, you know, and it depends on who they have respect for. Said, oh, that Jim Martin. Well, maybe this might be God, you know. You know? But if it was Dave, now see, I can almost assure this. If I somehow could guarantee you that if you don't mind staying this afternoon, I could assure you that we're going to sit you in front of Pastor Dave one-on-one. And he's going to prophesy to you individually. I dare say people would cancel their flights for that. So you got a picture of that, right? Dave speaking directly to you. Let me one-up you a little bit. Real prophecy. Don't see Dave's face in front of you. It's Jesus in front of you. And if it's not that, it's not prophecy. Sometimes it comes in the form, and I say Jesus, sometimes a word will come from the Father, because He'll mention my Son. Sometimes it'll be the Holy Spirit, but it's one of the triune Godhead, and it is God speaking to you. Now, I understand, I need encouragement, I'm not ready, I'm this and that. Well, let's see what the Lord said. Now, if you'll picture as I read this, I know you have to look at me, but it's not my face. It's not Dave's face. I want you to see the Lord and listen to what He said. This is your word right here. This came on the 4th. He says, my son, my daughter, obey me. For I have given you everything that you need. I'm going to stop and comment once in a while. No, I need an impartation. Is that what he said? He said, I have given you. I have given you everything that you need. I have provided all things, all grace, and all sufficiency. Then he gives more instruction. Do not look at a past of failure. Stop doing that. We could all do that. Do not look to all the times that you have missed it. Now, this is the Lord, your one-on-one. You're seated right in front of Jesus. This is not a take it or leave it. This is obey it or be in rebellion. You hear me? Now, when he says quit looking at the past, let's see, what could he mean by that? How about quit looking at the past? Stop it. And sometimes it may take you a while to stop it. If you've gotten in the habit of that. See, it's a figure of speech. I think there's a devil with a scrapbook of all my failures that sits on my bed every morning waiting for me to wake up. As soon as I wake up, he's going, you failed at this, you failed at that, you failed at this over here. See, I know it has to be a devil because God says that He took all of my mistakes and all of my sins and He cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. So He threw away His scrapbook, but I think the devil found a copy. See? But you got to quit that. That's not the path. That's not pressing toward the mark. Paul said, I got to forget those things that are behind. Okay. Jesus sitting right in, close your eyes. Jesus sitting right in front of you. And he says to you, don't build a case of why you can't. Don't let your upbringing tell you that you don't have what you need. Because I have provided everything for you to move forward with what I have told you to do. I have been long suffering, walking with many, never giving up, for I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I am always with you. For my grace is what empowers you to make the decisions to be obedient. See, he has empowered you to make those decisions, but he will never make them for you. And my grace is sufficient for you to be obedient. So don't I nearly did a message titled, "What the Lord Wants is for You to Repent of Not Repenting." That means stop putting it off. Repent of not repenting. Repenting is not, "I'm sorry," and keep doing it. I mean, that's better than a reprobate mind who doesn't even realize it's wrong. But repentance is not, "I'm going to keep doing it, but I'm sorry." No, quit putting it off. Repent and get into war with the rest of us. Time to go to war with the flesh. So don't prolong any more for what I've asked you to do. Don't hold back any more from taking the steps that I have asked you to take. For many are going to discover the realms in me that have always existed, that I have been beckoning you to come into. Now get this, that can only be experienced through a life that is laid down at my feet. It can only be experienced through that way. There's no other way. You'll never know till you start laying your life down at His feet. My will is walked through with legs. Did you hear that? It's great to come hear about it. But when you go home, now it's time to walk out what you heard. That's what He's saying. So listen, hearken, heed to conviction. This week, I'm talking about me now, my path has narrowed a little more. In all the course of the preaching, I saw, okay, that's got to go now. What is it? It's none yet. I'm not asking about your stuff, you know. Okay, it's none yet. Okay. But my path got narrowed this week. I hope yours has. Your flesh is going to fight you over that. But you will win. Okay? So let me read that again. Listen and hearken. That means don't just listen. Hearken. Obey. Heed to conviction. Heed to my spirit. Heed to my instructions. Heed to my promptings. Heed to my direction that is so clear to you. And listen. And I encourage you today that you can. Jesus right in front of your face saying, "You can." Do not be found saying, "I can't." Don't look at yourself like you are too late, because you are not. Because you will move forward with me into everything that I have for you. Just be obedient. Did you hear that? Now there is your prophecy. There is your prophecy right there. It'll be available in everything that comes when they get the package all put together next week. Now in line with that is what little He wanted me to share with you today. Be turning to John 7. What I started to say about the green line. See, what's been happening over the years, you come to conferences and you want help, and you get on the line and you hope to get help. And we did get help, didn't we? But see, over a time that you get this mentality of, "I'm the person that needs help from the ministry." And what God is doing in raising up this army. See, if you're always like that, you're not an army person. You're not in the war. What God is doing collectively with His army, individually, whether you're ever called to the fivefold, or He's moving you from the being ministered to side of the line to the minister side of the line. Whether that's in Walmart, where you work, at school, in the park, He's got to change the mentality from you always the one needing ministry to you being the one who has the ministry to deliver to the people. Alan is talking about the faith. See, Mark 16, where He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Sign to who? It's a sign to the unbeliever. Now let me ask you. He says, those that believe will lay hands on the sick. And let me say it this way. It's fine to lay hands on other believers. But in the context, he's talking about you laying your hands on that smoke, that dope smoking, cussing, lost sinner guy. Is it his faith going to get him healed? It's your faith. Believe in what Jesus said. And it doesn't matter about his faith. We're coming to that point. When you lay hands on them, they get healed off of your faith. Then they want to hear about your Jesus. Amen? Well, he's collectively moving us. And he showed me this little picture here from the New Testament and the Old. See, what did Jesus... The end result, the end purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost was not so you could pray in tongues. Boy, that's quiet. Did you hear anything? I didn't hear nothing. No, tongues is part of it. Tongues is the initial evidence, and tongues has its purpose. But he didn't say, thou shalt receive tongues after the Holy Ghost has come upon thee. Was that the purpose? What was the purpose? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses with power. Amen. That's what he meant. I don't want you going out with a powerless gospel. Receive the Holy Ghost. You'll receive power with you do, and then you can be my witness. But he's raising up an army. And now every person in the army, from private to general, has got the same power. And his name is the Holy Ghost. Now let me show you that. You know, the Bible talks about, who was it mentioned today, that in 70 A.D., the physical temple was torn down. There wasn't one stone left upon another. Why is that? Because God's got another temple in mind. A temple not made with hands. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You got that? Collectively? But what if you're the only believer in your little village? And there's no other person there. You, my friend, are the temple of God. You got that? The Holy Ghost? God, the Holy Ghost lives in your belly. In your spirit. Now get John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, boy, if you underline, if any man, any man, there's your Joe Public, Mary wallpaper. It's not talking about the fivefold. It's talking about every blood-bought believer that gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. It said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly. Pat your belly button. He means out of your core. Out of yours, though. Not necessarily just Dave's, not Alan's. Out of your belly, out of your inner person, shall flow rivers of living water. And so we wouldn't be wondering what he means by that. Thank God for these parentheses. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. How many of you can Shandai? Come on, let me see your hand. I have an altar call if you don't. If you got the tongues, you got the power. Did you hear that? No, I don't. Yes, you do. The Holy Ghost doesn't bring the anointing. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. If you've got him, you've got the power. All right, hang on here. He's doing something new with me. I was going to bring in my Bible, and he said, do it this way. So, go to Ezekiel 47. I love this picture of the living water coming out of the temple. If we had time, we'd go all the way back up to verse 1. My Bible, on my phone version here, it has little captions at the beginning of sections, you know. It's not really in the Greek, but here it says, or Hebrew, but here it says, water flowing from the temple. Now, how many of you know that in heaven there is a real temple? There really is, and I'm sure there's water and all of that. But the type and shadow is for us. that we are the temple of the living God. And Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This passage in Ezekiel 47 gives us such an image of those rivers flowing out of the temple. And that means flowing out of you. So let's pick it up in verse 7. It said, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Now, very often in the King James, in Revelations, it's way the sea very often represents humanity. These waters are intended to go out into humanity, which being brought forth into the sea. Now notice, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Did you get that? They're called living waters because they bring life. It is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus plainly said, when you become a believer and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. And those rivers are intended to go out into the sea, into humanity, not stay bottled up in the church, not just to be sung about, not just to be talked about. Man, we didn't get to really examine this truth. I'll just tell you now. And I'm talking about me. Y'all see me. I'm struggling with some things too. Listen, your healing is already inside of you. The kingdom of God is in you. Your healing is already... I first heard Candy tell about that years ago. She had, really summarized, but she had a back thing, and she got to where she couldn't even jog with Bronc anymore, you know? And somehow it got across to her to start commanding for the life that's in her spirit to start oozing. Is that the right word? Oozing into her natural spine. And it didn't take very long with that. And she's keeping up with Bronc. Without pain. The Lord healed her. See, that John G. Lake had this 100 years ago. How he could handle the bubonic plague and it not affect him. And you remember the story. They actually took a microscope and they would take froth from the people infected, take it from their mouth, and they'd put it on John G. Lake's skin. And we look at it with a microscope and instantly those germs would die. And they said, how in the world? What's causing that? And he didn't hesitate. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Healing. Your healing is... That's why waiting on God to heal you is the opposite of faith. You're already healed. The healing is already in the life that came into you when you got born again. It's already there. The decision's already been rendered. Jesus already took the stripes. When we all realize that, not only will we be healed, but everywhere where the rivers flow out of us. See, he's trying to get us to understand this, walk in it ourselves, but he's got a lot more in that than just your healing. He wants to raise up this army so that those rivers flow out of us, and everywhere that the rivers go, it brings life. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It sets the captives free. I'm telling you, the day will come, we'll be running through the malls. There was a long time when Dave would preach about emptying the hospitals that I thought, no, that's nice. You know, we love Pastor Dave. That, yes, that would be good. Until I read about it happening. Did you know in John G. Lake's day in Spokane, the hospital that was closest to the healing rooms actually closed because they didn't have enough patients to keep it open. Now I'm going to just tell you this. So not only has my faith come up now to empty out hospitals, I heard this. I heard it, Bronk. Heard it, Jim. He says, you're going to empty a hospital in a single day. We haven't begun to see the things our God has in store for us. You are the temple of the living God. You have the power already in you. And He says to us, I've given you everything you need. You have access to all of my grace. You have access to all of my power. You have access to all of my provision. Stop saying you can't. We've got to come in alignment with what the Lord is saying. His word is truth and nothing else is. I want to make sure I finish this. Now, that's it. For they... Verse 9 again. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Now, look, here's your harvest. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Remember when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's a type and shadow. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh. He's moving us from the being ministered to side of the line to the ministry side of the line. I did a message, I don't know how long ago, maybe a year, and it said, honor the God who walks in you. We keep thinking we're nothing, we're just, you know, I'm just little old. God says, I will walk in them. They shall be my people. I shall be their God. When you walk in a room, if we can ever really get the revelation, when you walk in the room, God walks in the room. Who should be screaming is the devils. Because didn't they do that when they see Jesus? When they ask you, have you come to torment us before the time? The answer is yes. Yes, as a matter of fact. This is going to take a real transformation. We went to Romans 12 how many times? Because that's the key. By the renewing of the mind. We have to... Nathan said it again. It has to become bone of your bone. It has to become you. It has to become not something that we think or doctrine or not like math, you know. No, it's you. It's you. This is who you are. It's a believers' meeting, right? You're not offended? There's times when I couldn't do that. If I was in other, there's certain churches you can't do that. You have to be careful of the sheep, you know. But you're okay. See, I'm 70, and I feel like a young man. I feel like I've got a long time. I'm telling you, I'm feeling younger, not older. And that last thing he said, you think you're too late. No, you just don't know your God. What was it he said? How did he say that one time? He says, I can accomplish more for you in a single day than you could accomplish on your own in a lifetime. Isn't that true? How many people would get saved if we emptied out St. Francis Hospital in a day? It wouldn't just be them. Their relatives and their friends and their relatives. And the deal's on now. We got revival going around the world. If we can maintain that. And see, that's part of another reason for the mortification message. It's not really, the more I'm seeing this, and I'm open to correction, but the mortification message is more for your protection than it is anything else. Because when it's really your hands and it happens all the time and they get healed, listen, they're going to start trying to make you into somewhat among them. You know? And you got to be purged ahead of time with the love of money, what man thinks. You got to be purged of that. No, no, it's Him. Jesus of Nazareth makes you whole. It's all Jesus. He gets all the glory. Amen? But let's do that. It's too late when the revival hits. And that's why so often He'll pour out something and then it'll just squash real quick because there's no mortification. So the devil finds handles and he twists it, and sure enough, there's the end of that one. I firmly believe this one, when it starts, is going to last till Jesus comes. Last till Jesus comes.